Welcome to TechEd 2012. Hope you're enjoying it so far. My name is Guyan Pereira, and I'm from a company called Magnesium Solutions. I've been working with Dynamics CRM since version 1.2. That was back in 2003, 2004. So I've seen it evolve over time, and I've grown up with the product. And today I'll be showing you a bag of tips and tricks that you can leverage as a Dynamics CRM developer to build some clever applications. So what's in the bag? The first one is a T4 code generator. Now there is one that comes out with the SDK, but it's not very flexible. You might have seen it. If you wanted to add even a simple attribute or an annotation, it's very difficult to do. You have to write pages and pages of code, implement interfaces, and do things like that. So today I'll be showing you a text-based code generator that you can use to output any type of code. And then the next one is MS CRM JavaScript. So out of the box, when you first install CRM, it installs a whole bunch of JavaScript files into the CRM web folder. And if you have a look into them, you can get an understanding of how CRM, the Dynamics team, have implemented some of the features. You can copy that and build clever things on top of it. And I'll show you what we've done with one item. And then I'll show you Script Sharp. So if you're like me, you've been writing C Sharp for a long time, and when you look at JavaScript, you just want to poke your eyes with needles. What this does is allows you to write C Sharp code, and when you compile it, it'll automatically compile it down to JavaScript. And it makes your application much more maintainable and gives you IntelliSense, strongly typed, just makes it very, very easy for everyone in the team involved. And then I'll show you a bit more. I'll show you how to convert a managed solution to unmanaged. This is a bit of reverse engineering. So if you are releasing managed solutions to other people and someone takes this method, reverse engineers your solution, puts it out into the wild, don't come and blame me. I'm just showing you how to do it. And then I'll show you how to link an IL merge. So when you deploy solutions, you want to keep it in that same zip file. You don't want to have to deploy to the GAC or the disk or any other places. You want to keep it all within that single solution. So I'll show you how you can IL merge different libraries and link different C# files to keep it all contained within that single zip file. And then I'll show you a form script analyzer. So if you've got multiple people working on a project, they might be writing JavaScript. And what you want to do is you want to kind of get an understanding of what's in the system without bugging the other team member. So you can run this tool, get an export out from CRM on all the forms, all the controls, like tabs, for example, and say, okay, this piece of JavaScript function is running on this library and it's on this tab, for example. And then I'll show you a couple of extension methods. For example, in CRM 2011, the team did pretty well to use the native .NET types, but they didn't do that of a good job because they left out entity reference and the money type. You still have to use the CRM data types. So what we've done is we've created an extension method called get, which you can say, I want a decimal, and that method will automatically look through the aliased values and convert it to the right type and give you back the right type without you having to do anything else. So if you're a .NET developer, you don't need to know anything about the CRM data types, you just work with .NET native types. And then I'll show you a couple of hidden settings. These are settings that aren't exposed in the user interface, for example, the email router, but you can get access to these via XML config files. So feel free to have a look around and poke around CRM hidden things. It's not going to bite. Virtual machines are cheap. You can spin them up, destroy them without having to play around in the live environment. All right, so the first one I'd like to show you is a T4 code generation tool. Like I said before, there is one that comes with the SDK called the CRM SVC U-tool. It's not very easy to extend. Now, we've been using this since version 4, and I'm going to open source this today on CodePlex. So you guys are the first in the world to see this being released. So have a play around with it, download it, and give us some feedback and extend it if you like. So don't worry about writing these down. At the end of this talk, I'll make everything that I'm going to show you available in a zip file on Dropbox. It's about 100 megabytes in size. So yeah, grab it from there. All right, so YT4, for example, this is one that Microsoft has built to automatically convert option sets into enums. As you can see, it's massive. Just looking at it, it's very scary. I don't know who wrote it. Would have to thank them afterwards. And then we'll have a look at the T4 template, which is this text that you edit. So what you do is you say, I want another different using statement. You can just type it in there without having to write pages and pages of code. So let me show you an example of that. So when you download the zip file at the end of this talk, everything will be under a folder called TechEd 2012, and under resources, everything that I'll be showing you will be under that folder. So you have the code generator tool. Open it up. Everyone's talking about Metro or the modern UI, so there you go. This supports Office 365, Microsoft Online, partner hosted on-premise. All you have to do is type out the discovery service. And it'll take a few seconds to connect. And once we connect, it'll give us some options like the template path. So you can have different templates for different things. Like let's say you can generate JavaScript, you can generate C#, VB.NET, F#, whatever you prefer. So I'll pick the CRM SVC util template. So if at the moment, if you're using the CRM SVC util and you want to keep code looking the same, you can use this T4 code generator with this template to generate the same code that CRM SVC util generates. So I've made it so that it's backward compatible, but going forward you can extend it using T4 rather than the SDK one. Then I have to specify an output path, so I'll just say the C# one. And then it gives you a couple of options. So if you're just working with two entities, let's say account and contact, you can just specify a comma-separated list, account, contact. And then if you wanted to exclude some entities like workflow, SDK, message, you can say that, or you can exclude everything. So for now, we'll just do that, hit next, and then it'll take a couple of seconds to generate. That's now it's going pretty quick. So we'll come back to our solution. Cool, it generated it. And as you can see, it's generated the same type of code that you're used to seeing with the CRM SVC util. All right. Now, I have a sample application. Basically, I want to validate some objects. If you've looked at data annotations, you can say this field is required by just putting in an attribute called required. At the moment, that doesn't exist in this class. Imagine having to write that out manually for each property. You'll spend days, maybe years, writing that. And at the moment, if you want to extend the CRM SVC util, it's going to take a long, long time to do. But now what I'll show you is how you can do that using T4 just like that. So if I open up another T4 template that I have, as you can see, the code generator automatically gives you properties like is required. In CRM, when you create a new field, you can mark it as required, and that gets exposed as is required by the code generator. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy this bit. Onto the CRM SVC util template file, and just after that, I'll copy paste it. So if this field is required, we're going to output the required, and if it's got a length, like a string length, it'll output that. And if it's got a range, if it's a number, it'll output that as well. So I'll save that and then go back to the code generator, hit next, give it a few more seconds, and then you'll see that it's going to add these attributes in. Cool, we'll refresh, and if we go to the name, you'll see now that it's got the required attribute and the string length attribute. I forgot to add the using data annotation, so I'll just copy that in. Cool, I'll build the solution, and it's going to take a bit of time. Cool, and if I run that, you'll see that it says the name is required because I tried to set it to null, but the attribute said it's required. So now what I'll do is I'll give it a name, and then I'll give it an invalid length, so I'll just pad it with let's say 1,000 characters with a zero, run it again, and now it says, hey, look, it needs to be less than 160 characters. So I've extended the code that it generates quite easily without having to write too much. So what I'll show you next is how you can generate JavaScript by looking at the metadata that's in CRM. So I've got a template here for JavaScript, and basically it just generates a bunch of functions. So I'll just hit the back button and pick the JavaScript template. And for the output, I'll pick the entities.js. Go back to the output. I'll erase that out so you can see that it's actually going to generate some code. And now you've got a whole bunch of JavaScript that's based on the metadata in CRM. So you can use this as IntelliSense, or if you're doing some more smart stuff, you can tailor this template to work with your requirements. Cool, so that's T4. You can grab it from CodePlex or from the zip file. Have a play, and I'll hit the publish button on this project after the session. Cool, so the next one I'm going to show you is MSCRM JavaScript. So the scenario here is that, let's say you want to add a profile picture to a contact. You can do it a couple of ways. So you can make an ASPX page, or you can use Silverlight. Some of you will be going, what's Silverlight? It's going to be deprecated soon. With the ASPX, if you want to deploy that solution, you have to deploy it to another place. But we want to keep things in a single zip file, right? We want to import that solution and have it work anywhere that we want. So what we've done is we've reused the pop open window function. For example, every entity in the system, you've got to add attachment note functionality. So we're going to reuse that to provide the ability to put a picture onto someone. So I'll show you that first. So I'll create a contact. So at the moment, there's no picture. I'll hit the Add Picture button. As you can see, it popped up the same window that would have popped up if I went into Add and hit Attach File. And what I'll do is I'll pick a picture, so I'll pick the CRM logo, hit Attach. Once it closes, it'll jump back and attach that picture to that contact. So that's all done without using Silverlight or any ASPX extensions, just reusing the out-of-the-box functionality. So how did we do it? The way that we did it was to download the SDK first, and then you have to go into a folder called resources. So I'll show you that. And then there's an exported ribbon folder. So because I'm working with the contact, I'll open up the contact ribbon. And then I'm going to do a search for attachment. And once you do a search, you'll come across a command called add note to selected record. And because it's a command, and command has definitions, we'll see that it's got one called add file to record. And that's under the ribbon actions JS, which is a JavaScript file that comes with CRM. So what we'll do is we'll take a look at it and see if we can kind of understand how CRM is popping up that window so we can reuse that functionality. It's under scripts, ribbon actions. It's not very human readable, right? You try to read that, it's like, well, can't do it. There's a way to clean it up. If you go online and do a search for JavaScript beautifiers, you can copy that bit of code onto it and it'll automatically format it up for you. But today I've got an application called jsbeautifier.net. Again, it's open source, you can download it. And what you do is you give it an input file and an output file, and then it'll automatically beautify it for you once you run it. So I've got a little batch file that'll do that for me, and that's the command. So if we have a look now, we can see it's nicely formatted. And if you remember from that ribbon file, the function was called add file to record. What we'll do is we'll look that up in the JavaScript, the ribbon JavaScript one. As you can see, it's all mangled, it's minified. And from just taking a guess, I can see that they've used script sharp for this. Script sharp uses this formatting, this dollar sign and version and a zero and a one or a number. But what we're interested in is that popping off the window. You can see they're calling a function called open standard window with these parameters. So what we want to do is we want to take this bit of code and use it on our one. So I'll show you what that looks like. So here's our JavaScript file from the solution. So what we've done is we've created a function called pop attachment window, and then we reused that bit of JavaScript that CRM's built to pop that window. Once someone's uploaded it, close the window, we'll automatically show the image for that person. So the key message from that is don't be afraid to look at the JavaScript files that come with CRM. Just don't modify it. For example, if you touch that file, you make a change, when you install a rollup, that rollup's not going to make the update to that file. So be careful, take a backup off that if you're going to make a change, but always just copy it to your folder, make a change, and then have a look around, have a poke around. You'll get a lot of good ideas out of it. So I'll show you Script Sharp next. Script Sharp was started by a guy called Nikhil at Microsoft about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's open sourced on GitHub, and it's progressing quite well. It converts C-sharp into JavaScript. So I'll just open up the demo. Cool, so I've added a button called create account at the moment. Oh, it's got live code, awesome. So what we want to do with this is when we click on this button, we want to prompt the user to enter a new account name, and it should automatically create that account in CRM using the REST endpoints, which you saw in the previous two sessions, and then pop that new window, okay? If you wanted to use JavaScript, you can do it, but I prefer Script Sharp, where you can just write C-sharp code. So first, what we would have to do is download Script Sharp. You can do it through the package manager or NuGet. Otherwise, you can go to GitHub, download it, and add a reference. Because I've already got the DLLs, I'll just add a reference to this project. And script.web is a Script Sharp DLL. And you can use jQuery as well. They've got what are called import libraries. So if you've already got a JavaScript file, you can create a script sharp import library. It's similar to pinvoke if you've called any C# native Win32 native methods. Very similar. You define the method signature, but there's no implementation for it. It's just a stub method. And then again, there's one called xrm.page, which we've built, and it's on CodePlex. What this allows you to do is use the xrm.page methods like get attribute, set value, get value, set visible, all through C#. So again, it's an import library. So I'll add that as well. Once you've added that, it's quite straightforward. So what we want to do first is prompt the user to enter the account name. So we'll say script.prompt. And then we can do some error checking. So we'll say if and once you've done that, we need to create this account in CRM. And if you've used a toolkit called XRM Service Toolkit, it's from an MVP called Daniel Kai. And what I've done here is I've created an import library on his behalf. Because we are using the REST endpoint, I've just created a single method called create, which allows us to create any type of entity in CRM. I'm not going to go into too much detail on how ScriptSharp works, but this is what a import library looks like. All you have to do is say it's imported, and you match the JavaScript signature with a C# signature. So I'll add that as a reference to my JavaScript project. Once I have that, I can do things like REST. And it's under the XRM Service Toolkit namespace, .create, right? And you can create any type. But what I want to do is make it a bit more interesting and show you how you can actually leverage this T4 code generator to generate C# code that you can use inside JavaScript. At the moment, there's a file called account, which doesn't have any data. What I'm going to do now is go back to the T4 generator and use a template called ScriptSharp. So this template is going to allow me to generate code that's going to be compatible with ScriptSharp. And let's go to properties, grab the file name. I'll say the output, pump it out into that. And because I just want to generate code for the account, I'll specify account and ignore everything else. Hit next, give it a bit, and we should see some code being generated. Cool, it's done that. And now, as you can see, it's generated a whole bunch just like before. But the cool thing now is we can do things like account sample equals new account, name, we'll specify the name, we'll set some other properties like website URL. And then we can say, I want to create the type of account, and the instance is sample. The REST endpoint name is REST API set name. The OData endpoints, they always end with set, like account set, contact set, product set, etc. And then we need to specify a function that gets called if this is successful. So we say delegate account result. And then another function that gets called if there's an error calling the OData endpoint. So we'll say error. And then if you want this to be async or sync, so we'll say it's async. So if it's successful, what we want to do is pop that window. So we'll say utility. Now, this came with rollup 8. So if you have something prior to rollup 8, you're not going to be able to use this function. So utility, open the form, and we need to specify the schema name, and then the ID that just got generated, so we'll say result.accountID. And if it's error, we can say, oh, no parameter, so we'll just say null. And then if there's an error, we can alert out saying there was an error. And now when I build this project, I'll show you what the output looks like. So it's converted all those things into JavaScript. Now this is a debuggable file, so that's why you're seeing all these comments and it's not minified. But if we scroll down to the bottom, we'll see that all the code that we've written in C# got translated into JavaScript, and it's got all our checks and even our REST endpoint creation methods and things like that. So I'll build it again just to publish it to CRM. And I'll hit F5 to refresh. And I'll create an account called 2012. Give it a few seconds and we should see an account pop up. There you go. So we did all of that in C#. We didn't touch a line of JavaScript. All we did was just add references. It compiled down, built it, got uploaded to CRM. It set the name and the website URL. Normally, when you're writing JavaScript, you'll make little typos and you have to deploy to see the error. But with C#, you don't have to do any of that. You get IntelliSense and error checking at compile time. Now, what you would have noticed is I hit build and it automatically updated CRM. I'm not using the developer toolkit because, like Rami said, there's a problem with the toolkit. It doesn't support 2012. In this example, I'm using a post-build script which automatically uploads that JavaScript into CRM as a web resource. And it's a tool that we've written. You can have a look at it once you get access to the zip file, but I'll show you what that looks like. So basically, this utility takes in a URL, a domain, username, password, the org name, upload, the directory to upload, or a specific file. So you can automatically upload script files using this exe to CRM. It'll match up the web resource names, or if you want to be specific, you can just upload a single JavaScript file. So you're not opening up the customizations area, opening up the web resource, copy-pasting the content, or picking the file, hitting publish, and retrying. So you're doing everything inside Visual Studio and it's instant. Cool, so that was ScriptSharp. Take a look when you get a chance. So now I'm going to show you a bit more. This comes down to a bit of reverse engineering. I'll leave managed to unmanaged to last. But what I'm going to show you now is the hidden email router settings. So when you install the email router, you'll configure it using the email router wizard. But most of the settings, they're not exposed in the user interface. But if you open up this XML file called emailagent.xml, you've got a lot more settings that you can control. We had a customer that wanted to automatically delete emails once they were processed. And I kind of had a feeling that it did exist, but didn't know where it was because it wasn't in the user interface. So we enabled tracing, and through tracing we found that there is a property called delete emails. And once you set this to true, once the email router tracks an email in CRM, it'll automatically delete it from Exchange, POP, or your other email system. So what I'm trying to say here is that don't be afraid to look at these files. Just take a look. You'll see a lot of stuff that will be useful to you in the future. No, so if it's one of those device IDs, it'll encrypt it. Yep. I didn't want to put any real ones in here.
I realize it's not your password, but I'm just thinking, so somebody can prowl through the XML file, I wonder where you're reading my password.
Yep. No, it's encrypted. Yep. And another tool that we used was Reflector. So in trying to come up with a solution for this customer, we had to look at how things worked in the system, and we used Reflector to look at the DLL and understand how the flow went through, and then we figured out how to actually hook into that message and do some cool stuff. I don't have time to show you how I did it right now, maybe another time. The next one I'd like to show you are the extension methods. So let's imagine that you've got a sample plugin, and this bit of code should be familiar to you. If you wanted to get this value out at the moment, what you'd do is you'd say account.getAttributeValue, and you have to say money, and then the field name. But if you're a .NET developer that doesn't know anything about CRM, that type, you're not going to know what that type is. So rather than doing that, what we've done is we've created an extension method called get, and you can say, I want a decimal. And when you say that, basically inside that method, we do a bit of casting and checking. So we say if the type that you want is exactly the same as the type that's in the property bag, we'll return it. Otherwise, if it's things like aliased value, we'll grab the value and we'll get the type of that value. And then we'll do a bit more checking, like if the value that's in the property bag is a type of money and you want a decimal, we'll return a decimal to you. But if we can't match anything, we'll just revert to the default. So you don't lose any functionality, you just gain a bit more benefit in using the .NET types. Another example is entity reference. So if you wanted to get a lookup value, you'd normally get an entity reference. Rather than doing that, you can say, I want the GUID of the lookup, because that's what you're using most of the time. So you can say get GUID rather than entity reference. And then we've got a couple of other things in there, like get nullable. So this get will return the default. So if a property doesn't exist in the property bag, it'll return the default value of the type that you want. But if you want to get a nullable, you can just call this nullable method. And if you want to convert any type to a string useful in workflows, for example, you can concatenate fields and put it in a subject, you can call the getString method. And then we've also got a merge with option. What this allows you to do is, because the way plugin runs, it runs in a transaction. Let's say someone changes a field on the account, your plugin runs. If you make a call to get the same account using the CRM service, it'll give you the previous values, not the changed values. So you want a way to somehow merge those values and get a proper entity. And the way to do that is using this merge with. So you say, copy all the fields from this into that and give me a merged copy. That way it's much easier for you to work with. And then we've got a tracer file. CRM 2011 has the concept of tracing. So as long as you're tracing things using this iTracing service, if an exception happens, it'll record it in the system and you can see how things happen and debug it later on. We've extended it to make it write to the event log. And that's just because for production environments, sometimes the user doesn't click on download log. If they forget to do that, we lose track of what happened. And the way to do that is when an exception happens, we write it to the event log, and then we monitor that event log for CRM errors, and then we report on it and fix the bug. And we go a step further. So if writing to the event log fails because you don't have permissions, we'll try writing to disk, just so that we're not having to debug on any production service. We want to have much information as we can in this tracer files so that we can reproduce the bug and get it sorted. All right, so I'll show you how you can link files and IL merge. The reason that you do this is because you want to keep a single DLL when you want to publish things. For example, if you want to register a plugin, CRM doesn't let you, let's say, upload your dependent DLL. So if you have, let's say, 5 projects, your plugin project is dependent on those 5 other projects, you can only deploy 1 assembly, not all 5. So the way to bring all those 5 together is to IL merge, and the way to do that is using this command. And I'll show you an example first. So this is my plugin. So imagine that's our simple plugin. And it's got a dependency on this library called ilmerge.dependency, which sits here. And it's got a simple class called class 1. If you wanted to deploy this plugin, you'd have to either deploy this dependent DLL into the GAC or the disk so that the CRM service can access it. But we don't want to do that. We want to keep it inside that single zip file. And then linking files, all you have to do is when you want to link from other C# files, add existing. Rather than clicking on the add button, click on this little down arrow and click add as link. And you can link as many files as you like. That way, when you build the project, all the source files gets combined and built into a single DLL. And you can make it a bit more easier by putting in a post-build event. So I've got one here. Basically, when the solution gets built, it'll run this command and automatically put it into a folder that we can use. So here's the command. You can get IL merge from MSDN. You can output the merged file anywhere you like, outputting it to deployment folder. And you can say, I want to merge this depending assembly. If you've got more, you can put in more here. And then because plugins require a strong key, but you need to sign that assembly, so you need to specify that key. And then just so that people don't get confused and deploy the wrong DLL, I delete the original file that Visual Studio generated under the debug folder. So we'll have a look at what that looks like. So I'll build it first. And then I'll open up ILDASM, which is a disassembler, and open up the merge DLL. And you can see that it brought in class 1 from the dependent library onto this library. And same with the files that I linked. I linked the extensions that help us do things like .get and trace and merge. So it merged everything into this DLL. Now you can deploy this DLL rather than deploying a whole bunch of other ones. Cool. The next one I'll show you is the form script analyzer. So like I said before, if you've got multiple team members working on a solution, someone might write a bunch of JavaScript and they get sick for whatever reason, they don't turn up to work, and you're left with continuing that project. You don't know where they got up to with the JavaScript. With this tool, what you can do is run the tool, get an output CSV file that'll tell you what form, what field, what tab this function runs on with what parameters and what library it's sitting under. This tool is part of a bigger toolkit that generates technical documents automatically. I know there are a couple of customers here. I promise you that I didn't use this tool to generate that tech doc. It's done by hand. So if you want that full suite, flick me an email and I'll see if I can send it to you. But for today, I can only show you this JavaScript analyzer. So it's quite simple. Again, I've created this batch file. You specify the discovery service, domain name, username, password, and an org that you want to run it under. So I'll delete this output file first, run it. It'll take a few seconds to go through all the entities and pass out the form XML. Cool, it generated that file. I'll copy that to my desktop. And if we have a look, we can see that for each entity, each form, each event, it specifies what control that piece of code is running under, on what library, what function, with what parameters. So you can quickly see, hey, look, what's going on in the system without having to go into the customizations area and having a look around. So you can come here and go, oh, look, on the contact onload, there's a bunch of functions getting called, and it's all under this global.js library. And you can copy-paste this and format it up and copy-paste it to a tech doc if you like. Us developers, we hate writing documents and reading documents. So this is an easy way to do it. All right, so last but not least, the managed to unmanaged conversion. Again, I don't take any responsibility for your solution. If someone does it to you, not my problem. So I've got our own solution in here for legal purposes. I wasn't allowed to use someone else's. I had to use mine. So I made a mistake on purpose. The publisher, I made a mistake, Mr. E. When you open it up, you'll see that I can't edit it anymore because it's a managed solution. And if I try to export the solution, it says you're not allowed because it's managed, right? The way that this came about is we had a customer that had managed solutions from the past, and they wanted to update the solution, but you couldn't because the original source didn't exist, and we had to figure out a way to do it. So if you're going to do this, make sure you do it in a virtual environment. Grab a copy of the database, restore it into a virtual environment, then run the SQL code that I'm just about to show you. So under the resources folder, I've got the managed to unmanaged SQL, and you can open that up and run it against the managed org. Specify the unique name. At the moment, it's called MTEX, which is that one there. And it goes through the database and does a bit of reverse engineering. You can have a look at it later on. I'm not going to explain the whole thing to you right now. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to run the script, takes a few seconds, and if I refresh, you'll see that the managed is going to change to unmanaged, and if I click on the publisher, it becomes available for me to edit. So I'll correct that mistake. You can change entities if you like. I can open it up. Everything just works as normal. And now what I can do is I can export the solution out as an unmanaged or managed solution. So what you need to do is, once you've made it unmanaged in the virtual environment, take it out as unmanaged, put it into another environment, and that environment becomes your kind of the controller, if you like, and chuck away the virtual machine. Because once you run this command, because of the way tables are linked, and I haven't reverse engineered the whole thing, there's a table called solution component base, and I haven't reversed all the keys, so when you try to re-export, it'll give you errors. So you can export out of managed, save it somewhere, and then import it into another environment, a clean one, So now that you have a proper clean environment, then you can do changes in there, export and import. Because of that same reason, if you take a look, we need to do one more step. What we need to do is open up the solution.xml file and then go right to the end and clear these missing dependencies. Again, this is because of the solution component base. I didn't want to touch that, so left it as is. It's easier to edit this XML, just self-close it out, hit save, and repackage it. And then now you can import it into a unmanaged clean instance. So I've got one here, it doesn't have any solutions, so what I'm going to do now is browse to that. Sorry, I think it's this one. So I repackaged it, hit next. It's got a few plugins, so I'll activate those. You can see that everything came through, so it's got a plugin, and it's got some web resources like icons, and it's brought through all the customizations as well. So I'll do a publish. Cool. And there you have it. Now you've got an unmanaged solution that's exactly the same as the managed one. The difference being that you can make changes here and export it out as managed and pump it back out to the live environment without it saying, you've got this managed dependency, I'm not going to update it, etc., etc. So I can export this out as managed. Where is it? Yep. So once you do this, because everything looks the same from the same publisher, same keys, everything, you can say override. Yep. So again, I don't take any responsibility to your solution. Cool, so we looked at T4, allows you to generate code using template files, makes it easier to generate JavaScript, C#, VB.NET, any type. And then we looked at MSCRM JavaScript, so the JavaScript that comes with CRM. Don't be afraid to take a look into them, you'll get a lot of ideas from that. And then we looked at ScriptSharp. Writing C# and having it compiled down into JavaScript makes it much easier for developers to use, strongly typed, and you get all the benefits of IntelliSense and things like that. And then we looked at all these other options like helper classes to get and work with .NET types. We looked at IL merging to keep DLLs inside the zip file, and then we looked at the form script analyzer to output JavaScript on different forms, and then hidden settings like the email router settings. So I'll jump to this last slide first. Make sure you fill out the evals. They help me and Microsoft improve and to provide you better presentations in the coming years. So it's quite useful that you fill this out. And if you fill out good evals, like 100%, you might just win one of these things. You can contact me by email, guyon@magnetism.co.nz, or you can tweet me at nzxrmguy. You can download the code from that link there. I think the deck will be available at the end, so don't worry about writing it down. If you can't find it, just flick me an email or send me a tweet, and I'll send it to you. So yeah, thanks very much.